officer, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Right music, basically. It's fast-paced music where the MC talking about the lifestyle, how they're talking about violence or some sort of wrong happenings. But yeah, basically, it's just the music that gets people going.
Do you know what? It's honestly a bit of nastiness. It's a bit like gritty.
It's like going mad to them when it comes on.
For me, I think people like Skepta and festivals and sort of like small underground venues.
I feel like grime is very aggressive.
The bassline is similar in the way it's fast paced, but normally you've got a singer on there or an MC playing the bass. Class it as grimy.
Pop culture trying to take it over, so it's sort of like a fight of like what it actually is now. So.
Keeping it raw.
Yeah.
Grime and bassline are both genres that mean different things to different people, as you've just heard. It all depends on your experiences, your location, and your overall music taste. This podcast dives straight into the fast-paced world of grime and bassline culture to gain an understanding of what goes on behind the decks and behind the mics. Coming up are interviews from Luke Cash, a grime artist from Huddersfield, who takes us through the tales of poverty and time in prison.
I saw a lot at a young age, you had to grow up fast, I saw a lot of poverty.
Also, Blazer Bockel, a grime MC from Bradford. He tells us about how his dad's drug abuse influenced his music.
Like, everyone always thinks it's like a big thing that I touch on, but it is somebody else, but to me, it's an everyday sort of subject.
It's normal to you.
It's normal to me.
I'll also be speaking to Jake Birdass, a DJ and producer from Huddersfield, to tackle issues surrounding the bassline culture, such as lack of venues, drugs, and stigmas surrounding the genre.
The clubs, I don't really class them as live music venues, they're more interested in making a profit.
However, it's not all negative vibes, as later on in the podcast, Blazer tells us that grime can have a comical side too.
Like, I don't make music to try and make anybody think I'm a bad man. I don't make music to try and make anybody think anything of me. I just want to make people laugh or make people dance.
And I'll also be chatting with DJ Q, one of the biggest DJs and producers in bassline, to get the lowdown on the success of his career and what he thinks about Northern Sound.
Like, up north, people are more open to different styles of music and stuff and different cultures. Here in London, everyone's like, stick to the old thing.
Yeah.
They're on it into what know about.
I also gave Birmingham DJ Bassboy a call to talk about all things bassline in terms of his music and to see if he thinks there's a difference between Northern and Southern Sound.
Okay, party music, innit? If you want to have fun, like, personally, me, bassline is like a music that you get wild to, innit?
And make sure you stay locked in to find out why he got banned in his home city. Let's kick things off with local MC Luke Cash to find out about his experiences of grime music and where it all came from. Is grime really about the money and the lifestyle that the MC spit about?
Me personally, getting into music was like a way to just release, to get stuff out. It's thoughts. I'm a very personal person, but I think I get it more out in music. I was heavily involved in the bassline scene as a youngster, like very early.
How early?
At 14, 15, sneaking into Neat. In Napa, spot bars with Jamie and Skepta.
What, so you spot bars out in Napa?
Yeah, but not as a fun thing to do. Just not like, I never took it serious because I was had other stuff going on in my life.
Yeah.
To take music too seriously. And then, unfortunately, some events in my life happened, I went to prison. Some unfortunate circumstances, we'll call it.
Right, okay. So in your track All Alone, that is still on YouTube, you haven't taken that one down. You mentioned your time in prison.
Yeah.
How did that influence music and change you as a person?
All Alone in general is very personal. I talk about my mum, my girlfriend at the time, and going to prison and just like generally just how I felt at the time. It was very personal to me, and prison did change me. I wrote that in prison.
Did you?
Yeah, I wrote that whole freestyle in prison. So I had the beat and I wrote it all in my 4x4. So.
Wow.
So yeah, when I came out, I recorded it with Firstborn in his studio, and I did the video with CLB and Connor Butler from Bradford.
It's a good video, it's done well.
So that was just something I needed to do. It wasn't even a thing to like try and get recognition or try and get anywhere with it.
It's just your outlet.
Yeah, it was something I wanted to do for myself personally.
So your music's really conventional in terms of like sticking to traits and the stereotypes, so like money, material things, girls. Is that actually what it's about here?
I wouldn't say that. I just think it's the lifestyle we live. Like, people call it a stereotype, but it's the actual lifestyle. So, like, a lot of artists, like Wiley, Dizzy, then to, like, even Blazer, even though it's funny and stuff, he talks about birds.
Yeah.
He talks about lasses, and you know what I mean? It's just lifestyle. We're young men growing up, and most of us are from, not, we might not be from total poverty, but we're not from a rich lifestyle, so we always want more. So the money, yeah, you're always striving. I don't do the music for the money. I just do the music to release, but yeah, like you say, it's my lifestyle. My lifestyle is
driving nice cars, having nice kicks.
Yeah, like I try, but at the same time, I don't like it when people say it's a stereotype. It's more like, if you understand the person, it's their lifestyle.
Luke is just one of many grime MCs that have lived through problematic times. Another artist who touches on issues such as prison and drug abuse is Bradford artist Blazer Bockel. As his dad abused heroin, Blazer mentions this in a few of his tracks, but does it in an unconventional way.
I can't make music and lie and be like, oh, stab, stab, shoot, shoot, gun, gun, trap, trap.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pop myself open, but yeah, that is an aspect to my life, but that's not the headline.
Big picture.
That's not the bigger picture, and I'm just not that way inclined. Like, I have a laugh. I love a laugh at the expense of myself. And I don't make music to try and make anybody think I'm a bad man. I don't make music to try and make anybody think anything of me. I just want to make people laugh or make people dance or smile, or which is weird for grime, but It works. I don't know.
So how do you get that, like, in there, like, amongst it all?
I don't know, like, even like when I've touched on points like about, like, with my dad and stuff like that, I try not to touch on it too serious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to tell a sob story.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this has happened to me. Yeah. Feel sorry for me. Like, I just sort of touch on it, but then, like, with a bit of humour. It's easier for someone to laugh at you than to cry. Feel it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how to keep the balance. I just.
But you're quite open about your dad and you.
Yeah. It's like, everyone always thinks it's like a big thing that I touch on, but it is to somebody else. But to me, it's an everyday sort of subject.
It's normal to you.
It's normal to me, and it's been so long since it was a big thing that affected me in my life that I don't, now it doesn't affect me to talk about it or anything at all.
Yeah.
I understand, like, what happened, why stuff happened.
Drugs are frequently spoken about within the bars of a grime track, but this obviously isn't the case for Bassline. The genre attracts a stigma for drug-dominated events where people lose their heads and down bottles after bottles of water. I asked Jake, who's DJed at many Bassline events, what he thinks about drugs in the genre.
Yeah, you get the whole people growing up young, taking drugs and whatever.
Just gives the music a bad label.
Yeah, definitely. But at the end of the day, you go to other venues, like, drugs are in football, drugs are in everywhere. People, you'll be surprised how many people probably go to work who have been taking drugs in some kind, some sense. So yeah, it's just one of them. It's just pretty controversial and just a crazy subject with a lot of conflicting opinions, really.
Drugs seem to be an automatic stigma that gets linked with Bassline due to the music's past. Jake goes on to tell me about his experiences as a kid in the scene.
It was during this time, but it was really weird because Power just kind of had its thing. It was a old dubstep night where it was at Legends and Hits, and they had a lot of stuff about underage people. Like, there was a lot of underage people there. There were a lot of drugs being taken there, and then there was a lot of violence as well. So I think it was a bouncer got stabbed, which led to the club getting shut down. When that went away, there was nothing to really replace that, especially for us younger generation. So we were 16 at the time going to the...
You were DJing in clubs?
I started DJing in clubs about 16, yeah. Some people were younger than that. I remember going to high school and people were always talking about going to Power on the weekend.
Yeah.
And these guys were like 16, and then there were some people who were in my brother's year at the time, which is 2 years below me, so about 13, and they were planning to go using fake ID and whatever, and it just got real messy for what it was. It wasn't really respected in a professional way because of the amount of youths that were coming. They were like I was still 16 at the time, so I kind of seen it, and I've seen a lot of people at high school kind of jumping on the hype just to give us somewhere to go on a weekend.
It's becoming apparent that the music was not getting the credit it deserved, simply because of the occurrences at these Bassline events. I asked established DJ Bassboy what went down in his early days of playing live sets and why he thinks the events got shut down.
I think it's obviously down to the crowds again, isn't it? Like the type of people it starts to attract.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that basically happen before. Obviously, Fabric's back open now, thankfully. Well, it was the first time I played there the other day, so I was happy that it did get back open.
Yeah.
It did get open back, sorry. But the reason, yeah, it's always going to be because of the crowds, and obviously people that, you know, the whole drugs are taking stuff, taking it a bit too far. You know, you can have fun. I don't personally think you need to take drugs to have fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, each to their own. You can't control what everyone's going to do. But, you know, I don't know. Me, I'm kind of anti-government in a way, because I feel like they'd like to take away everything that's fun. I'm not saying that people don't go too far, but... You know, you can't really blame a scene or music on what people personally choose to do. You know what I mean? If somebody, if something happens to someone, you can't really say it's the music, but I feel like sometimes there maybe is a motive behind why they want to show it, or personally issues with certain clubs and things. I remember when Niche got shot, I think it was because somebody got stabbed. That's definitely down to the crowd, but once again, I don't know.
Yeah, because Bassline gets that stigma of being violent and attracting trouble.
It does, but this is what I'm saying, it's way, way less worse than it used to be. All the raids I've done since about 2014, I've not seen one fight, I haven't seen any stupidness or anyone overdosed. You know, I haven't seen none of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And obviously, in there in like from 2008, 9, 12, I used to see that stuff all the time. Like, there was always raves getting ended because it got too hype, and they'll just try and blame it on the music. But you can't, you know,
it's all down to the crowd.
For me, because it's been so long, it did get bad at one point. Like, obviously, I got banned from playing Birmingham for like 5 years one time, because obviously. There was an event at the Custard Factory. It was like a drum and bass event. Obviously, as I said, I come from like an area that's really gangulated, and people came and shot up the event and stuff.
Oh my God. That,
yeah, and all the DJs that were on the lineup just got blacklisted for like 5 years or more. I think it was about 6. It only recently, like, I think it only finished in 2014 when I was allowed to play here again.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, it gets crazy. And obviously now it's totally different for me. Like, it's totally changed. Like, when I came back to DJing, everything has changed. Like, the faces, the crowds have changed. The energy is totally different.
Yeah.
I think right now it's good because it's thriving, it's moving forward, and there's a lot more, like, everyone's got a lot more connected and supportive of it. And I think, like, the clubs and the promoters are just, like, I don't know, it's all refreshing.
Although bass culture still upholds its negative labels, times seem to be changing. As Bassboy said, it's refreshing. But I wanted to find out why Bassline has such a bigger presence in northern music culture. So I sat down with DJ Q to gather some more info.
I think because it's got more of a presence up north, like obviously Niche, Shetland, Sheffield, filtered out to other places around Sheffield, like up north, Leeds, Huddersfield, Bradford, Midlands, Birmingham, East Midlands, Leicester, Nottingham. We filtered to them places, but never really caught on in London because no one was making it. I think that's why it's more apparent up north, because more people up north make it.
Yeah. So you run the UK's leading Bassline festival, and the size of the crowd has, like, grown massively. Why is that?
I wish I knew. Nah. You know what it probably is? It's because it's the only event like it in the country at the moment. Obviously, like, before we started doing it, there was nothing else on. When we got together, we thought, you know what, let's just do one sick Bassline rave, put everyone on it, let's do one sick Bassline rave.
All kinds of Bassline.
Yeah. And it happened, and just, people just wanted more, so we've just done it.
Yeah, well, it's successful.
I think it's helped the scene as well, because like, more other people putting on nights as well.
So what is your opinion on the UK nightlife scene as a whole?
Do you know what, when I sit back and look, well, first of all, I'm out in clubs every weekend, so you don't really feel it, but when you sit back and look,
yeah,
it's a bit bad. Like, we tried to shut back, clubs are shutting down all over the place. Like, Kitchen Street in Liverpool, that's closing down due to, like,
it's
but that's getting built in the area.
So same as Sam?
Yeah, like important clubs are closing, like, but I don't know if events still keep happening, people keep making the music, I don't see how they can shut it down completely.
As Q just mentioned, Bassline has made its way further down the country since the closure of Niche. But does the sound differ? Being from Birmingham, Bassboy tells us if he thinks the location has an influence over the sound of a track.
I personally think, like, producers have their own sound now. It's more obvious, like, who you can tell, like...
On a track straight away, you can tell who
yeah.
it is. Yeah.
And it's like the beat, they're known for that reason. They're not known for making bassline, they're known for their actual sound, like...
Yeah.
For me or people, even Credit, are like everyone has like their own sound and they're kind of big in their own right for making their own sound. And obviously, depending on where people are from, like a lot of it's way more open now because producers from all types of cities, Brighton, you know, you get Coventry, you've got people from all over that are getting attention, but it's. I personally think that's a pretty because of their style.
Both Grime and Bassline, there will always be a nostalgic element for its listeners as they reflect back to simpler times and pirate radio stations and Bluetooth phones. All the artists and producers I spoke to had fond memories of their early days in the music scene. Luke goes into detail about one of his first times hearing Grime.
I'm not sure if it was my dad or my cousins or somebody older around me. I heard a tape set, and this was going way back tapes. Yeah, I heard a tape set in the car and it was Wiley and Dizzy Rascal going back to back.
Yeah.
This is like original grime, like when they used to just go to raves and spit over random beats.
Mm.
So like Danny.
Freestyles.
Yeah, just Danny Weed beats and just all those kind of producers at the time. Just yeah, when Roll Deep first started and Dizzy Rascal and Wiley, when they all, Crazy Titch really got me into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, them guys there, that's when I first heard grime and I thought, wow, the UK's got its own sound, like, it made you believe that you could rap. Because I think kids from the UK always rapped in us bedrooms, but we always rapped in American accents thinking we had to do it like the Americans.
Yeah.
But then when these guys came out, it just made you think, wow, we can do it, like, it's something for us. Like, we can spit in our own accents, no matter where we're from in the country. And just.
So would you say that's where grime comes from, stems from?
Yeah, definitely. I think it comes from the raw urban streets of the UK.
His raw UK sound had a big impact on Blazer from a young age, as he first heard Lady Fiorette spitting bars on a Lord of the Mics DVD.
The first MC I seen was a girl, like Lady Fiorette, and then she passed the mic to them.
A girl,
Lady Fiorette. She was on that same DVD. She spitting first, and she passes it over to them lot, and they start going at it, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, back then when I was a kid, I used to be like, 50 Cent and like...
50 Cent, Akon, yeah.
Yeah, like that was the only music, rap, Jay-Z, I used to love Jay-Z, they were the things I used to listen to, and then like, I walked into there and I seen that and I was like, this is sick.
So would you say they influenced you?
Yeah, because then like the next week, I got my first bar, when I was nine. Do you remember, I went home and on the TV, I remember what were I watching? What songs were they? Kano, P's and Q's, that was out.
Yeah.
And, Lady Sovereign, can you remember
Lady
Sovereign?
Yeah, oh my god, yeah.
Do you remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I've...
what was her song now?
That Hood
the
Rap.
Love Me or Hit Me.
Yeah, yeah, Love Me or Hit Me. And I went down to my sister's friend's house and I was like, how do you write bars? I was 9 years old.
How do you write bars?
I was 9 years old and then he like, at nine, he showed me what a 16 was, what an 8 was. And I remember I went, I want to write a diss track to Lady Sovereign.
Oh, bless you.
And I wrote like 8 bars like to Lady Sovereign. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, but I wrote a diss track to somebody when I was 9 years old. And that was the first bar that I wrote.
Since these early days that Luke and Blazer have mentioned, technology has improved at a rapid pace. So how does this affect bass and grime culture? Jake tells us his opinion. Does the internet benefit the music scene?
I think at the minute it's like, it's wicked. Like, there's so many new events popping up. There's so many new people coming to the scene. Like when I first started kind of getting into music, the internet were kind of a new thing, and people didn't really know how to go about it. People kind of took everything to heart. There were so many opinions flying around and people just arguing all the time. It still goes on now, but I don't know if it's me.
You see on Twitter like you did, just arguing.
I don't know if it's me just turning a blind eye to it, but I've not noticed as much as what it used to be. Yeah, it's great now. Normally when something gets popular, people just seem to like jump on board and then just for the hype and then disappear 6 months later. But recently I've noticed that people have kind of stayed for longer. So time will tell whether these guys can ship or whatever, but I've noticed that people have kind of come to the scene and they've stuck around for a lot longer than usual.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a good thing, especially the younger generation are the kind of people who are kind of growing up with this kind of music, and they're kind of the people that are still sticking around.
So how's it influencing the younger generation anyway?
So I think, like, it's quite controversial really. There's a lot of opinions about it, but my personal opinion is that it is positive. That the kids coming to, well, the younger people, maybe 18, I think, like, doing like tricks on the identification, like a lot of people kind of aren't. But
so there's still that interest there as the younger generation, and the thing is with the internet, they're always on it. It's something that they've grown up with, like, whereas us, we've kind of had to learn how
adapt
to use
with it.
Yeah. So they can always see events that's happening, they can always see new music being put out. So I think that's benefited a lot.
For me personally, it was during high school, so always had them baseline EJ mixes on your phone.
Yeah, them Bluetooth ones.
Yeah, yeah. Bluetooth thing. From there, it's always been a northern sound. It's always for me been, I've never really understood it as much until I have now. Listening to baseline back in the day, and then eventually getting on to more rock music kind of thing, proper music as people would say.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of where I've wanted to start making tunes and DJing and whatever, through just learning about the elements of bands really. Eventually that went on to drum and bass, eventually on to like grime and dubstep kind of things. So for me, where I most got interested in music was when the early dubstep times were coming through, so back in Croydon when all them men were just sitting in the yards making tunes and then going to record stores, getting stuff cut, and that was really interesting to me now, and that's kind of why I started releasing on vinyl as well, and I did start learning mixing on vinyl and stuff.
Well,
like
vinyl's
that.
A big thing now, it's
yeah,
suddenly
definitely.
Like coming down.
Yeah, definitely. You've seen it with the technology side now, like you can just go to HMV and go copy yourself a turntable and it'll work perfectly fine, whereas back in the day you'd have dodgy preamps and you'd have to buy belt-driven vinyl players and loads of stuff now, so it's, music is so accessible now, and even though we have the whole pirating thing, the vinyl thing is quite special really, because everyone can go and buy a piece of vinyl now and it's easy for them to play it, whereas before it'd be a case of if you're not really a DJ or you don't have a turntable set up in your house, it's kind of expensive to go and get one.
So far we've looked at the negative labels that surround these genres, the violence that can go down at these events, the drug consumption, and why these sounds are apparent in northern culture. Next up we move into more positive vibes, as we find out about the success of these artists and their best memories while involved in making music. Luke has recently been grafting in the studio.
I haven't released anything for a while, but 2017, this is my year. I'm definitely 100% confident that this is my year.
So you've worked with Firstborn already. Have you collabed with anyone else?
I don't want to release too much information. I want it to be a surprise, but I've got a few artists from down south that I've collabed with. I will shout out one of them, Richie, because I've worked with him already, so people know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've worked with a few different producers. I've got a bassline remix by Ussy. I've got small stuff with Firstborn. And yeah, I've got quite a few artists and producers that I know, so there should be some good stuff coming.
Meanwhile, Jake has been working hard putting plans together for the next Basement event happening soon.
What we've got planned is actually we're saying it's going to revolutionise Huddersfield and how people look at music in Huddersfield. So that's all I can really say about that. But at the minute,
keeping it low-key.
Yeah, keeping it low-key. We should be able to release something soon. But like for the meantime, I'm releasing stuff on my new label called Comic Strip Club, and Blitz is releasing his stuff on Blitz Beats, so we've got stuff still
being put out. Yeah.
He also tells me about one of his most memorable moments at a previous event.
Mad Friday, probably the one that's just gone. I just can't believe the scenes in that room. We'd sold out a month before. I had people messaging me every single day wanting tickets, and it was so hard to tell them no. And I just had to tell everyone, look, there's 25 spaces on the door. If you want to get there, if you want to come, you need to get there early. And during that event, when P-Money played, there was this bouncer who we had a crowd barrier at the front. The bouncer had the idea of that when the crowd pushed forwards, he's going to push back instead of just holding the barrier.
Yeah.
So for the whole of P-Money's set, this bouncer was just on the floor trying to push the crowd back, and it was like dripping with sweat. Everyone was just creasing at him, and I've got so many videos online of just this one bouncer just trying to wrestle with the crowd.
DJ Q expresses what it is that he loves about his job and tells us a little bit about the biggest bassline trio, TQD.
I just love playing in clubs, and I love hearing my music in clubs as well and seeing the reaction it gets.
Yeah. So you've been in the scene for as long as I can remember. What's changed since you first started?
Obviously the people that are into it have changed. I think more people are onto it now than before, like properly. Before it was like a trend before, but now people are like really into it and stuff. So yeah, that's
changed. What do you mean the people have changed?
Just like obviously you get crowds that when something's hot, like everyone will go to a baseline rave, and then as soon as a new genre comes about, they'll all flock to that genre. But like people that are into baseline now seem to be on board the music rather than just the trend.
How did TQD come about?
By accident again. Nothing I ever do is like on purpose. It all happens. We were just in the studio together, made a track, made the name for the track, and TQD was the one that fit. Could have been DQT, could have been QTD or whatever else, but we wrote all the combinations down, and TQD was the one that looked the best. So.
You recently released the album, UKG, with Royalty and Flavor. What can we expect from you guys in the future?
In the future? Loads more music, loads more shows. Got a lot of festivals this year. Just come out on the album and stuff, and solo stuff as well.
You've got your album as well with Jamie Duggan.
Yeah, Pure Bass, and it's out on Friday.
For Bass Boy, being a part of the crowd is the best part of the job.
Well, like, I like to interact with the ravers, but these lot we had so much energy, and it was just
yeah, you were in the crowd.
Yeah.
I've seen those videos.
I have to interact. I can't, you see me, I'm not just a DJ. Like, I have to see, I'm a party animal. Like, I was a raver before, like, a DJ.
Yeah, so you know what it's like.
It's like, it was brilliant. I like to have fun. Like, I don't just want to go and DJ. I'm like, oh, I'm going home now. I need to party because I got like a spirit in me that just needs to get let out. And I'm telling you, that factory venue is definitely, the sound system was amazing. The people were sick. The setup was nice. And the hospitality there was brilliant as well. But that was definitely, I put that in one of my top five.
To tie everything together, here's some wise words from Bass Boy for anyone starting out in their DJ or producing career.
Just be yourself. You know what? I swear to God, you can't, whatever you do, just be yourself and stay humble. I can't say stay humble because I personally believe that's just something that you just, it's the gift that you have in it.
Yeah.
Like, and just don't ever get an ego and treat everyone how you want to be treated, because like, I know it's cliche, everyone says that and it's not, most people live it, but I literally live my life that way. I don't care who it is, like, I will, if I meet someone and they're cool, I don't feel like I'm too good to learn anything off anyone or to help anyone. Like, it's a natural human thing, and you're supposed to help someone, because you was walking down the road and you see someone getting robbed, surely you're not going to just walk past and go, well, I don't know them, so I'm not going to help. I don't even know if that's a factor of any kind of success. I don't even see myself as successful, but if like, people see it as that, I don't know if that's a factor in it, but that's just how I am. I try to make sure everyone's happy. That's like why I go rave and like to rave, because I just need everyone to be happy and positive vibes. And just stay positive. I do music, like, you don't always get paid from it. Like, I do music when I'm broke. Like, be passionate about it and never be too proud to learn off anyone. Like, producers that have started producing for like 3 months ago have taught me stuff that I didn't even, that it took me years to learn. So never be too proud to learn stuff.
And finally, Q gives an insight into what he wishes he knew when he first started out making music.
I wish I'd been more up on my business rather than just like being naive and thinking that everyone's got your best interests at heart. But once I learned that you just need to be tight on your business and it's been better. So yeah, I wish I'd have learned that earlier.
Or is there any DJs or producers that you think we should look out for this year?
DJs wise, there's not really much DJs. It's like everyone's just producers being DJs now. But producer wise, Jack Junior is decent. Asher T, he's got some sick tunes. He just needs to finish his tunes. He sends me clips all the time and they're always sick.
So there you have it. We've covered drugs in relation to the genre, violence at raves, cultural issues such as the closures of venues, nostalgia, and of course, what makes these sounds northern. I hope you found this a good listen and you found out some new info on these influential artists that are in the game. If you have any questions or just want to tell me about what you think of this podcast, then get at me on Twitter, @BexThompson. Or if you want to read about my time interviewing these artists involved, then head over to my blog post on spiceukonline.com. Thank you for listening in.